listening to IDEA, the podcast about improving data engagement and advocacy. I'm Brianna Wham.
And I'm Shannon Sheridan.
Today, we're going to be looking at a major challenge. So a major challenge for researchers in the university setting is a lack of standardized workflows for research data. And a major challenge as data professionals supporting researchers with their research data needs is engaging with researchers at the right time.
So in this episode, we're going to be learning about how Sarah Hauserman, a research data manager with Harvard Medical School Research Computing, and Julie Goldman, the Countway Research Data Services Librarian with the Harvard Library, coordinated a partnership between data professionals in the library, research labs, and information technology departments to enhance institutional data services, including creating resources and connecting with researchers during their on- and offboarding processes. So let's get into it and welcome Sarah and Julie to IDEA.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. We're very excited to be here.
We're excited to talk to you. So can you tell us a bit more about your role and how it fits into the ecosystem there at Harvard?
Sure, I can jump in first. So as you mentioned, I work at the Countway Library of Medicine, and we serve the Harvard Medical School, Harvard School of Dental Medicine, the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, and our 16 affiliate teaching hospitals. So it's a very diverse population. And I'll work with graduate students, postdocs, and faculty researchers, really partnering with them to plan for the management of their data throughout the life cycle of a research project. So I'll consult on data management plans and sharing data, and then really point people to the services they need along the way.
Great, thanks, Julie. Sarah, how about you?
Yeah, so thank you again. So as you mentioned, my name's Sarah Hauserman. I'm a member of the research data management team with Harvard Medical School's Research Computing Group. So I actually sit within the IT department. So I come from more of a technical aspect. And I collaborate with researchers to organize, manage, and store their research data throughout the data lifecycle. We also develop tools and resources in collaboration with Julie and the library that researchers need to prepare their data for sharing and reuse, especially now as they're being required by institutions and funding agencies.
Nice. So it seems like you guys are kind of from different sides of the shop, as it were. So it should be really interesting to hear kind of how you found each other to work on this collaboration and project, which is kind of what we're here to talk to you about. We saw your poster that you presented at the 2022 Research Data Access and Preservation Association Summit, RDAP, for those of you who are part of that organization. You talked about how you worked with libraries, research labs, and IT departments to develop this standardized workflow for working with research data that researchers can engage with during their onboarding and offboarding process. Can you talk to us a little bit about that project, the who, what, why, and how?
Yeah, sure. So to kind of set the stage and, you know, address Shannon, like you said, how did we meet each other? How did we come to work together? So we're members of our campus's local working group, which we call the Longwood Medical Area Research Data Management Working Group, kind of a mouthful, but it brings together this extensive network of data professionals from our different institutions. And we work together to address data management challenges and needs. And as you mentioned, we recently created a lot of resources and guides to help our community in those pivotal areas related to data management plans and the kind of offboarding and onboarding process of researchers.
I am curious, were there any like incidents or kind of an impetus for this? Or was it more just you looking and being like, this is a need that exists. How can we work to fill it?
So we like to think that in planning for data management, a really great time to start is, you know, when you first start in a lab or you're, you know, starting up a new project. It's really difficult to, you know, switch on your data management strategies in the middle of a project. So we also found that our traditional employee orientations often do not discuss, you know, data. They more focus on just the onboarding of a personnel and the lab security and getting your ID and those kind of procedures. And then, you know, we really feel that data accessibility and findability are hindered by improper offboarding. If people just leave, they don't tell you where their stuff is. projects are really hard to continue. So by creating these, you know, ready to use checklists, we are trying to motivate researchers to succeed and make this implementation less of a burden.
And I would add that we identified these as big gaps, especially at the medical school, with the huge turnover of students, the graduate students, postdocs. These labs were getting an intake of new lab members periodically throughout the year, and then people were leaving after a few years. And so these were kind of the bottleneck points of when we could instill some of this standardization and hopefully, you know, streamline some of those workflows for the administrators or for the lab members who were chosen to kind of take on this role of onboarding and offboarding. So we really saw this as an opportunity to do as little standardization as we could based on what we'd identified, but it was a gap that we noticed after talking to researchers.
Yeah, I'll just jump in with one more thing. You know, a previous project we had worked on was talking to different research labs about their kind of workflows and trying to understand what their workflows consisted of, you know, maybe what metadata they were collecting along the way, trying to standardize those processes for, you know, just to understand if we could come up with some standard workflows that all labs could use and share amongst themselves. Basically, we found that no, we cannot do that. The workflows and processes are going to vary even within the same lab, even with the same, you know, working with the same kind of data. So unfortunately, that project we didn't find what we hoped to find. So we really pivoted and turned to, well, what are two areas that we know we can address right away? And those were kind of these onboarding and offboarding pieces.
So can you tell us a little bit more about what's in the checklist and how you go about implementing it in the different labs?
So we first created the onboarding checklist, which really serves as a general data management focused guide to employee onboarding. And it's in two parts. There's a part as you join a new lab, and then there's a part if you're beginning a new project. And then the offboarding checklist is designed to really guide that knowledge transfer process as researchers are leaving the lab or even the institution itself. And so again, as we engaged with researchers, we found that each segment of the data lifecycle could be impacted by either onboarding or offboarding, even planning a workflow or sharing and dissemination of research. So it could be significantly impacted by the departure of a colleague. So proper documentation was really imperative. And as Julie mentioned, you know, there are a lot of traditional employee offboarding procedures that highlight things like cleaning up your workbench or completing human resources documentation, but we really didn't have anything available that talks specifically about project data sets. So that's really, again, where we got this idea to create these checklists. And we found that not only in our trainings, so we do trainings periodically throughout the year, but also incorporated into these checklists is the idea that just starting with simple changes, so new file naming conventions or establishing a file directory structure could drastically reduce the amount of wasted time spent by others in the lab to continue your project after you've left. And also because I'm in IT, we're always very concerned about data storage. So the possible duplication or unnecessary retention of data has become ever more important. So we are stressing the organization of data to ensure that we're not retaining wasteful data.
So I know there's a lot of discussion often in this space about kind of when to kind of provide these resources. And as you said, these are kind of these bottlenecks. Do you find that people are kind of able to take it at that beginning of the project and implement it throughout rather than providing that kind of just in time, which I think is actually really hard to find? That just in time? Or do you find that they're being overwhelmed by all the information they're getting during like onboarding processes, for instance?
I think unfortunately with onboarding, it is more difficult to get intake from researchers because they are so overwhelmed, not only with understanding how, you know, they're going to set up their research project, but also just like Julie was saying, with everything else that they're having to deal with of, you know, making sure they have their ID and making sure they can get into their computer and making sure their workspace is set up and they have the right microscopes and tools. So it is a lot for them as they're coming into a lab or starting a new project. At least for me, I found that we are more successful with the offboarding piece because people do have to get their data together and organized before they leave. And usually it coincides with their publication. So they're getting their data ready to publish or share. And so they're more aware of some of the gaps that we provide in the checklist.
Has there been any increase in kind of use of your services or understanding that like at least it exists in the IT department or in the libraries from that exposure?
I think in putting these resources together, like Sarah mentioned, and I've mentioned, we did some trainings around these checklists, and those have been super successful. So we have offered those trainings kind of on like a yearly basis. So in the fall, we'll do an onboarding class. In the springtime, we'll do an offboarding class. And those get people to, you know, come to our sessions, talk to us, and find out what our services are. So I can't say that those classes have had like a direct effect on the number of, you know, service requests and consults we've been doing, but I do think it has, you know, brought awareness to these larger issues across our campus. Yeah.
So that's really interesting. I love the idea of also doing training classes to help support this. Are those training sessions focused, I almost want to say literally on the workflow, like here's how you go through it, or is there some data literacy incorporated throughout? I'm sure there's data literacy embedded in the workflows in and of themselves, because that's just, I would imagine, how it kind of goes. But what's the relationship between the workflows and those sessions?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. So we actually like set up the classes, like we are going to go through this checklist. We're going to go through each of the segments. And then for each thing, we talk about, well, what does this mean? Like we're telling you to come up with a naming convention. Well, what's a naming convention? And we'll go through like good practices for organizing your data, better practices for naming your files so that you can actually find things and share them with your lab members. So we kind of incorporate like, here is the process you should walk through. And then here's what each of these things mean. And then we also point to who from our group can help you. So like, I can help you in the library. We can help you create a data management plan. Sarah's going to be your go-to for storage, that kind of thing. So trying to make those service delineations really clear to people, because that's another thing, right? We work in a very large institution, a very disorganized institution. Researchers sometimes have no idea, well, who do I go to? So they just reach out to anyone and hope that they've reached out to their person. And 9 times out of 10, they haven't. So they have to be redirected to someone. So I think another thing we're trying to do with these resources is really point out there are so many people who are going to be involved in the process of managing your data. It's not going to just be one person. It's not just the library. It's not just research computing. It's really a collaboration and a partnership between service providers across the life cycle. So that's another thing we're trying to do with these checklists.
Yeah, and I think Harvard is an interesting use case because we do have 12 different schools. So we have the medical school, the business school, we have graduate schools, and we're all under the umbrella of Harvard. And Harvard started in 1636. So we've had a long time to kind of get things set up separately. And so it's only in the last decades or so that we've decided that we need to kind of meld some of these departments and groups together, because there are so many different networks or groups across the campus that are indirectly doing data services or directly supporting data, but getting those connected and working together has been difficult. And I feel like only recently have we made big strides towards getting everyone involved in the same activities, that we're not doing the same work and starting from scratch.
I can completely relate to that. And so in that, you're touching on the fact that you've developed this collaboration through this working group. You're able to kind of have more collaboration across these various research data service units. How have you fostered that? And in that, what did you find as the benefits and the challenges? You mentioned that there were some challenges there as well.
So I think one example that popped into mind was our exploration of electronic lab notebooks. So the medical school is now starting to be more and more interested in moving electronic and getting rid of paper notebooks because it's obviously very difficult to read people's handwritings these days. And so there are a lot of benefits for electronic lab notebooks over paper notebooks. And so I think the working group has been really beneficial in that way because we're able to see what other institutions, what other affiliate hospitals are using. So for example, Boston Children's Hospital is using, I believe, Lab Archives as their electronic lab notebook. Harvard Medical School is interested in using eLab Journal. Harvard University is interested in RSpace. And so we're all learning together and comparing and contrasting these different ELNs. It's been really beneficial, not only for creating that great matrix of all the possible ELNs that I think exist, although maybe there are some more out there, but it's been really beneficial to be able to kind of go off of one another and see, you know, do researchers at Boston Children's Hospital like Lab Archives, or do they hate it? Do we need to go with a different ELN here at HMS? So I think that's the one use case I thought of.
So that's really great. And it seems like it was a group of people that were really excited and ready to work and bring their expertise together, which kind of leads me to think about the other side, namely the researchers, because obviously for this kind of stuff to work, you need the researchers to be willing to do the work and use the resources and collaborate. So how did y'all get buy-in from the researchers for these workflows and this process?
Yeah, so I would say that's probably the largest challenge is getting researchers motivated and then conveying to principal investigators the importance. So the faculty of research data management, it's always an uphill battle, unfortunately. However, we've noticed that data management practices are slowly transitioning into requirements, not only by the institution, but also, again, by major funding agencies. So the National Science Foundation and National Institutes of Health. So labs are going to have to, you know, create these data management sharing plans and address how their proposed projects are complying with those policies. And I think that's going to jumpstart some of the motivation, at least from the faculty perspective. And while the integration of data management practices might seem daunting to some researchers, we've actually found great success by incentivizing this, you know, promotion of small changes over time. So in our trainings, we encourage researchers to begin with easier fixes and then slowly integrate, incorporate more and more, you know, recommended practices. So implementing changes moving forward rather than going back and fixing things, starting with simple file naming conventions, or, you know, a big one for storage is that people will leave and they will not include other people on the folder permissions, and the folder gets locked and the data is no longer usable. And so just something as simple as adding another individual to your storage folder or adding your PI to your storage folder is really going to be key for some of these offboarding processes. Obviously, the adoption of all data management recommendations all at once would be impractical, time consuming, and would potentially dissuade them from making any future changes. So with each success, we're hoping that researchers will be more inclined to do future changes because they went so well the first time. And then in regards to our onboarding and offboarding checklists, we've actually had great success with tailoring the template to a lab. So whatever their specific needs are, you know, we'll meet with them and tailor the generic template to meet their needs. So there's one particular lab, the George Church Lab. I don't know if you've heard of George Church, but he is a big PI in the genetics world. He is one of the individuals that's trying to recreate the woolly mammoth. And his lab is very large. They have over 100 lab members. And so their department, their lab came to us and said, can we integrate these checklists, but we want them more tailored to our workflows. And so we implemented them at the start of 2021. And they've immediately helped to alleviate a lot of their administrative burden. So because of the large influx and the large, you know, flow of people out of the lab, it's just been a lot easier for their administrative group taking in people and having people leave. And they've just considered it very successful. And so we use them as a great example of how the checklist can be incorporated into your lab and make it easier for the administrative assistants, for the lab members themselves.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think there's a lot of all labs and all researchers think that they are special, and there's something to be said for being able to offer them something that's slightly tailored, but still based on the same good bones and good structure of good data management principles. So I like that way of appealing to the researcher. I know we do that a lot at PNNL. So.
And I think it touches on the fact that, as you said, there is that base data management strategies, but every type of research, and I think Julie said it at the beginning, is like, even within a lab, there's diversity of research happening. And so the data management strategies, while it's generally applicable, will be slightly different based on the situation. And so I guess taking this up to kind of the outside the lab to other institutions scale, do you foresee kind of these checklists or these resources or this approach being successfully implemented at other organizations? And like, if others wanted to kind of implement this, what factors do you see as vital for their success?
Yeah, so as I alluded to earlier, you know, collaboration and coordination is the key to successful data services at any institution. You need to make sure that you have open communication and collaboration venues. Coordination, right? There needs to be an understanding that data management is not handled by one member of even a research team, right? Mm-hmm. Sarah said, RDM, research data management, is hard. There need to be these distinct roles within the lab or on a project, so there isn't, you know, one person responsible for all that work. So while PI may lead the project, there has to be, you know, a data manager, a data analyst, other service providers who, you know, are incorporated into the plan of a project. So I think it's really important that an entire lab coordinate both internally with amongst themselves, who's doing what, and then also reach out externally to find out what service providers they can connect with to really leverage their projects. And then I do want to touch on, you know, how does one implement these services at other organizations? So like you said, Rihanna, the templates have been created at a very high level. So they are intended to be used by a variety of people. So as Sarah mentioned, you know, we have a lot of schools at Harvard. So I've actually did a training on the onboarding and offboarding checklist for our Kennedy School of Public Policy. So you can see how you could span these checklists from the sciences, from the STEM realm to other disciplines.
We do encourage other institutions and groups to take our templates and utilize them for their own needs. And while the specific tools or policies may differ between our institutions, general data management concepts are the same, and therefore you can adapt the checklist to your own needs and apply your own policies and your own tools and make it available to your researchers.
That's so great. And for our listeners, we will have those resources linked in the show notes.
Honestly, I'm already thinking about like, how can I make this work in our lab and what people are doing. So yes, we encourage our listeners to go check the stuff out, because hopefully what you've heard here has really piqued your interest and you want to explore a little bit more.
Just want to thank both Sarah and Julie again for chatting with us today on our IDEA podcast.
We really enjoyed listening to you guys, and we really want to thank you for coming on the show with us and telling us about the awesome collaboration and work that you're doing across groups, across the university, and we wish you the best of luck in having all of the researchers implement your workflows.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It's always good to market our resources, and we're excited for others to use them and integrate them into their own universities. And we had a great time speaking with you both today.
Thanks for joining us, folks. We hope you enjoyed this episode of IDEA.
You can find the resources from today's show in the show notes.
Our theme music is by Scott Holmes, and a big thanks to the Research Data Alliance Interest Group, Engaging Researchers with Data, for supporting our work.
If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate or review us wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next time.